Okay?
Okay, Ephesians 6, 10 through, we're going to do 10 through 20, spiritual warfare, part 2. Okay, Ephesians 6, 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in who?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. And in the power of whose might?
His
might. So how often we want to be strong in our own might. And so I never looked at the scripture like this before, and I was a few years ago we were in Istanbul, and we weren't allowed to get on the plane because I didn't have a visa, and JR had an American passport, I have a South African passport. And 3 o'clock in the morning we realized that they said you can go, and they said you can't go because you don't have a visa to go into Istanbul. And so we could not, we didn't go, we didn't take the flight. And so we had to go for a visa the next morning. We sat in the airport all night and went up for a visa the next morning. And I was just so stressed out, totally stressed out. And I had to go take pictures for my visa. And I was running down to this little kiosk to go and take the pictures. And I felt, and you know, clear, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is what He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I was like, whoa. You know, God just totally spoke to me those words, you know. And when He, after He did, you know, just peace came over me because I was really allowed this whole thing to just like get a hold of me and just like really drag me down, you know. And this was the first time that God spoke so clearly that the scripture into my spirit, man. And it was such truth inside of me. And that's why when we are going through trials and that kind of stuff, when we recognize that, you know what, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. It's in the power of His might, not our might. So let's go to Ephesians 6:11. And we're going to go, somebody wants to read that? Ephesians 6:11.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. Go ahead, Arlen, continue to read until we get to the loin belt.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Can you continue?
One more.
One more.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Okay. So we spoke about this year last week, and I'm just going to quickly go over it again, and just not going to take a lot of time, but Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And what we spoke about, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, is we do not pray against our brothers in Christ. We do not pray against, because we all are made in God's image, so we cannot pray against people. We deal with the spiritual realm, we deal with the principalities, we deal against the powers and the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And as I was saying, when I was sharing that vision with y'all. Why I share that vision with y'all? Because we need to recognize the spiritual atmosphere of the demonic demonstrations that we experience, but we do not recognize it because we can't see it. Because we can't see it doesn't mean it is not there. So there is demonic demonstrations of in places that we stay, over our nation, over our cities, over our lives, and over, and when we work at our workplaces, we just need to ask God what the spiritual strongholds and the principalities we're dealing with, so we can stand against it, stand and don't allow it to take authority over us. We don't stand and we don't allow, we are not manipulated by that spirit. We begin to identify what the spirit is and we look above that spirit. So while I was sharing with you all about that spirit of being discontent, you know, overweight, but also ask God what the spiritual struggle that you are dealing with, where in the place of your work. So it's going to be easier when you know what you're dealing with. It doesn't affect you, and when the people that you're dealing with, you know, they, when they come up with those, all those negative things, you can stand against the lies of the enemy, not praying against the people, but standing against those demonic demonstrations of Satan assaulting you in those areas. Okay, and so therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, often when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard. And that's when our faith needs to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not our might. And that's why our quiet times are so important, that when that time comes, and it will come with our time of walking with the Lord, you know, the enemy will come and attack us. He will. But we can stand against his lies. We don't fight the enemy. We stand against his lies. God has not called us to fight the enemy. He's called us to stand in the truth and recognize his lies and stand against his lies. So we, God, Jesus fought Satan and won Satan 2,000 years ago, that we don't have to fight Satan. We don't have to stand and deal with these lies. We just need to identify with it and say, laugh it in and say, Satan, you have no power, you have no authority over me, over the church, over our nation. And that's where that we have that authority, that we know who we are in Christ and we walk in it. Amen. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And we're going to speak about the loin belt of truth. And when you look at the loin belt of truth, and you see Paul, he went first for the loin belt of truth. He began to teach us about the loin belt of truth. And the loin belt of truth speaks about the Roman soldier had little appearance and attractiveness. But when we notice the rest of the armor, such as the breastplate, you would wonder why Paul began that was oddly visible and seemed least important. This is here for my book that I had, so I just like copied it up. If you were to describe the Roman soldier, you might start by describing his helmet, his breastplate, or his shield. If, you know, when you look at a Roman soldier, you know, his helmet is really attractive, you know. And why didn't Paul begin to just say, oh, let's go for the helmet of salvation? Because Paul spoke about the loin belt of truth, because it is so important in our lives. The loin belt of truth is actually the word of God. The loin belt, it's the belt of truth that we put on, and we should gird ourselves with that truth. And that's what we should live every day with. And so if you have, and I'm not going to just go through that, I'm just going to speak to you. If you have a pants, okay, that you wear a belt, and your pants is loose, okay, and if you don't wear a belt, what happens? You're very uncomfortable, isn't that so? You feel like your pants is going to fall, you know? And so we always have to put a belt on. Maybe you lost a little weight, and you have to put your belt on so you stand firm, like, okay, this this fence is going to stand firm. And that's the same with our faith and with the Word of God. The Word of God is the belt of truth that we put on, the belt of truth. And if we are firm in the Word is strong, we believe the Word, and the Word is, we're walking by the Word, we are going to walk in our Christian life. We're going to be confident in our lives. We're going to be confident in God's Word. And we're going to believe God's Word. Majority of the times, we know what God's Word says, but we don't believe it. So we need to walk in it and begin to believe it. We say, Lord, this is what your Word says. So we have to believe what God's Word says. And it says over here, the loin belt of the Roman soldier was specifically worn to support his armor. So the armor of God, the armor that he held, it actually, there was like a belt over here. His belt supported that armor, you know. And if it's short armor, sometimes he had a huge armor, you know. So he would support it. The loin belt should, this was the most vital part of his weaponry that held his sword in place and supported his shield rested on the loin belt so that he could go to battle. So what you have to understand is now that belt, he had his sword stuck in that belt, plus his armor that he would hold would be able to, and his belt would support it because the armor is pretty huge, so it would help to support the armor. So the belt is really the Word of God that we have to begin to walk in that Word every single day. And you have to, when you begin to take the Word in future, you know, begin to take it and begin to read it slowly. Don't read the Bible like how you read a book. When you're having your quiet time, begin to say, Holy Spirit, please come and teach me, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And take one scripture and and begin to read one word at a time, and then begin to fall in your spirit. Just begin to, like, really, God, bring truth to that word. Don't stop reading our Bibles like we read a novel. Because then, you know, we're not going to get anything out of it if we kind of just get over and done with, if we just got our Bible readings or whatever. But begin to read it slowly and say, God, just bring truth to me. And you would be amazed how suddenly the word would just jump out of the Bible, and it just brings so much of truth to you. Like, wow, I didn't see that before. And so that's how we should be with God's word in future when we begin to read. If you kind of, you know, I was sharing this in the other church. I don't use any words. I felt like God was saying to me, God is saying, you know, like to read our Bibles all year. We have this Bible, schedule, yeah. And, you know, it's something we have to really watch when we have a Bible schedule, that in our minds, we really want to get through our Bible schedule through the year. So what happens is we lose our relationship with God. We kind of, because we want to just get that over and done with, and we're going to mark it down. Okay, we did our Bible reading today, but it's not about the Bible reading. It's not about finishing the Bible during the year. It's about your relationship. So if you're having a quiet time and you're doing your Bible reading just at your quiet time, I say to you, throw your Bible reading out, have a quiet time with the Lord, and do your Bible reading in your spare time, not in your quiet time, because that's not going to be effective in your walk with God. And then this one lady, you know, and I was just sharing that, and this lady came up to me at the end of the service, and she, at the end of the teaching, and she said, you know, I've been doing that. And she said, I've lost my relationship with God because I have not really taken the word, and, you know, how we in that quiet time, we just kind of hang out with God and that. But when you take that Bible reading, you just want to get your Bible reading done and you finish with your quiet time. It just doesn't really get a hold of your heart, because it's more our minds want to get finished with it. Mm. And so just be very wise that you don't lose that, your relationship with God. That's cool. Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's go to Isaiah 11:5, and then we'll go to the breastplate.
Okay.
Isaiah 11:5. Do it.
Yeah. I can sit. I can call it up.
Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Isaiah 11:5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And that's what Isaiah is speaking about. In not at that time they didn't have the armor. I mean, they had the armor, but it did not. We did not, as Christians, they didn't put the armor on and that. But this is by the Holy Spirit. You know, he's saying righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and it's righteousness. It's the righteousness of the word that brings us into the truth and walks us into the truth. You know, and keeps us into in righteousness with God, and faithfulness of the belt of his waist. And it's God's faithfulness that allows us to walk in him and have our being in him and begin to live in that place of truth and in righteousness, and identifying every fiery dart that's sent our way in our lives. Anyway. Okay, breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate... did we read that scripture? Alan, do you want to just continue reading it? Oh. Okay, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having put on the breastplate. Okay, you all know what a breastplate of righteousness is. Breastplate. The breastplate was designed, like if you look at a Roman soldier, the breastplate was designed as strips of iron secured with a leather, like a waistcoat. You know, like a waist, so they would put it on, and they were flexible but very strong and protected the Roman soldier's heart, the vital organs. The flexibility enabled the soldier to move freely, to use his shield and sword without the breastplate getting in his way. So it was very flexible because a Roman soldier has to move very fast with his sword, so the breastplate was very flexible. When applying the same principle of wearing the breastplate, we put on the righteousness of Christ in faith. So, in this day and age, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we put on the righteousness of Christ in faith. We allow our faith, our righteousness of Christ in faith, we allow that, we put that on. This protects and guards our hearts from thoughts of insecurity, fear, and unworthiness. When you put your breastplate of righteousness on, we guard our hearts, okay? We guard our hearts from the evil one. We guard the thoughts, the fear, our insecurities. That's what we put on our breastplate of righteousness. We should not conform to this way, the ways of the world, in our thinking, actions, words, or deeds, so our lives may be acceptable to God. Whenever the enemy tries to accuse you of your past, the breastplate of righteousness is your defense. Satan comes and sows seeds of doubt and unbelief. Righteousness, righteous living means freedom from Satan's lies. If you look at your life today and your walk with God, you have to recognize where Satan comes and he sows that seeds of doubt in your heart, those lies, the unbelief, the doubt, you know, that you, he will come and say, but, you know, do you think God is going to do it for you? You know, if you're standing in faith and you're trusting God for something, he's going to bring doubt in your mind. He's going to bring doubt with your family. He's going to bring doubt with your children. Oh, is God going to do this? Is God going to open this college? Is God going to do this? You know what? That's where your faith needs to rise up. And you need to say, I'm not going to allow doubt. Is my child going to do what I want him to do? Or is he going to do what God wants him to do? And that's why lots of the time you have to take your children and give them to God. And you take them back. I bet you mothers take them back every single day. And, you know, you take them and give them back to God. You know, and that's even just not mothers, parents, you know. Is even when your kids are grown and they're adults, you know, it's kind of like you stress out and you kind of like, you know, doubt. Satan always puts doubt in our minds to, you know, what if not? You know, God's word. This is what God's word says. That's why always get a scripture. Stand by God's word. All your fears, your doubts, you know, what you have and whatever Satan's using and coming and sowing those seeds of doubt, begin to go to God and say, God, give me a scripture to stand on this issue. Don't, you know what? That's how we begin to live in future, by God's word. Tell God, ask God to give you a scripture for every issue, every doubt, every unbelief, everything that you are dealing with, where Satan is throwing those darts at you. Begin to ask God to give you a scripture so you can stand and begin to pray over it. And that's where your faith will rise up. And Satan can't attack your mind and your walk with God. Satan knows our weaknesses. When we compromise, we will fall prey to Satan. Our hearts become an emotional roller coaster. I'm just going to just take those scriptures on and you can go through that scriptures, okay? Isaiah 59:17, Proverbs 4:23, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Philippians 3:9. You can go through it in your quiet time. Ephesians 6:15 says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel. The soldiers, if a soldier is in battle, if there is a battalion and they're ready to go to war, and they are waiting to be called, do you know that they're supposed to be totally dressed, even with their shoes on, and have to lie there and wait to be dispatched? If a soldier wants to get comfortable and he's like, oh, you know, I just want to get a little bit comfortable and take my shoes off, you know, if they're called, and if the one soldier took his shoes off, he holds everybody back waiting that he has to put his shoes back on. And we have to identify with that. With the shoes of the gospel, we have to be ready in season and out of season. We have to always, here in Hawaii, we take our shoes off when we come into people's homes. But we never leave home without our shoes. We always put our shoes on. And with being the preparation, the shoes of the gospel is when the soldiers are in battle on the front lines, they sleep with the shoes on because they have to be ready to deploy immediately. A soldier that does not have his shoes on could lose his life or the lives of the whole battalion. And that's the body of Christ. You know, if we are hanging out and saying, oh, you know what, I'll come to the Lord, I'll be a prayer warrior, when and where and what, and we're holding back the whole body from what God wants to do in our lives and in the church. To be prepared for battle, we need to have on our whole armor. We need to be ready, mobile, and available. As Christians, we are a constant target of the enemy. So the shoes of the gospel we wear have to be long-lasting and secure. Shoes with holes will keep us from going forward. In other words, sin in our lives will hold us back. Our conscience needs to be clear, allowing us to stand firm before God. And, you know, our conscience, I believe that everybody walks in their conscience of year, but we have to, and that's where, you know, you young people, you know, when you're not sure of when God's speaking to you, We all have a conscience. And listen to your conscience. If you're not sure, okay, what God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? You know, if you're alone and you don't have your Bible, you don't have your parents, and listen to your conscience. Your conscience, when your conscience speaks to you, God's speaking to you. So go what your conscience is telling you. Okay, Ian?
Yes.
Our conscience needs to be clear, allowing us to stand firm before God. When we are to stand against the enemy of our soul, our relationship with God has to be in right standing, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm not going to go through these scriptures because we don't have time. You can go through the scriptures. So no matter how difficult or unpleasant the battle gets, the gospel of peace will keep us going so that we may finish victoriously. God champions us through the fight so we may continue in God's perfect peace. And you know that those shoes are very, very important. We need to really watch and be fully clothed before we can put our armor on, but if we don't have our shoes on, we're not done. And so don't leave those doors open. Okay, John 14:27, Isaiah 26:3, Philippians 4:27. Shield of faith.
4:7.
Philippians 4:7, yeah. Shield of faith. A Roman soldier used his shield. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay. What I didn't speak to is when we put the breastplate of righteousness on, okay, and when we have that breastplate of righteousness on, and when we put it on, we think, okay, you think Satan is going to still attack you when you put your armor on? Will he attack or won't he attack you? Are you protected? It's not a trick question.
Yeah. He'll attack and you're protected.
Yeah, he still attacks. So you can get up in the morning, you can pray, and you can put your armor on. He's still going to attack you, you like it or not. And worse, if you have your armor on and you have chinks in your armor, if you have holes in your armor, and in those holes, if you have those sins that you're not dealing with, he's going to attack you. And so with those sins, you know, if you have pride, if you're dealing with unforgiveness, you're dealing with whatever sin you're dealing with jealousy, you're dealing with, you know, stuff, all those things become a chink in your armor, becomes a hole in your armor. So you can get up in the morning and you can put your armor on. Satan is not stupid. He knows you. He knows your address. He knows your zip code. And so he knows all what is going on, you know, and he knows that, okay, you didn't deal with unforgiveness, you didn't deal with pride, you didn't deal with that stuff. Okay, you know what? Attack them with that. And that's the open door that we give the enemy. And so we can't stand fully clothed before God. We can't stand and say, God, I'm standing for my city. I'm standing to pray for, you know, my nation. I'm standing to pray for breakthrough, you know, all those chinks are going to affect your prayer life. And that's why when we stand before God, we have to stand, God, show me my heart. Show me whatever, all the things that I'm dealing with. Let me deal with it, Lord. Even if I have to go and ask for forgiveness, maybe even if my pride needs to be, you know, put down, Lord, let me be righteous in front of you, Lord. You know, and may my prayers be a sweet smelling aroma to your nostrils. Because when we pray and we have those chinks, our prayers goes up to the ceiling and comes down. our prayers don't go into the presence of God, because God, what happens is when we have sin, God turns his face away from us. Because God, when God looks at us, God doesn't look at our faces, he looks straight into our hearts. Isn't that so? Quickly, let's go to this here. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is moving me, asking me to do this here. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 46. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to read that, please? Loud.
In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Okay. Do you think that God forsook Jesus there? Yes or no? No. No, he didn't. Let me tell you what God showed me a long time ago. Jesus was on the cross. Okay, and so when God looked down at Jesus, at that very moment, Jesus was taking your sin and my sin upon him, and God cannot look at sin. So God turned away from Jesus in that very moment because he can't look at sin. And Jesus recognized in his spirit, he said, "Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me?" Because he sensed God turned away from him. And so my sin and your sin was on Jesus that moment. So what happens is when we have sin in our lives, what do you think God, when God sees us, when God looks down from heaven, he doesn't look at my face and Alan's face. He looks straight into our hearts. And so when he looks straight into our hearts and we have sin in our hearts, guess what God's doing? He's going to look away because he can't look at sin. So that's what happens is when we allow sin in our lives and we don't deal with the issues of sin, and sin is the lies of the evil one that he brings those lies, and when we choose not to deal with it, then we choose to break relationship with God. God still loves us. His love never stops. His love is never going to change for us, but he cannot look at sin, so he turns his face away from us. And we wonder, okay, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Is because he's saying, deal with the issues of your heart so I can turn back and I can begin to answer your prayers. Any questions? Okay. That was not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to do that. Okay.
Isaiah 59. Validates that. It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear."
59
verse 2.
Did you guys get that? And even Isaiah 1 verse 15 says, "When you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Isaiah 1 15. And there's another scripture you can take. It's Isaiah 50. You said 51, 9, 10. Okay, there's one. Psalms 51, 9 and 10. Okay.
59?
Psalms 51, 9 and 10. And Isaiah Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Thanks, Anna. Okay, where are we? Shield of faith. Shield of faith. Did we read it?
Mm-hmm.
The Roman soldier used his sword. The Roman soldier used his. Did
we
read it?
No, I was just going to point it out so you can read it. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Okay. Paul says we are to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one using the shield of faith. The shield of faith acts to prevent the attacks of Satan. Our faith is easily measured when we go through trials and testings. However, some have heaped faith while others only have a teaspoon. Faith comes down to our relationship with God and believing His word. Speaking God's word boldly guards us from the accusation and assaults from Satan. If your faith wavers on the circumstance of life, then you have little faith. Ask God to increase your faith. And that's Luke 17, verse 5. And you know, this is our relationship with God. It is our constant relationship with God is being in His presence 24/7. You don't need to stand and be praying 24/7, but being in that place that your heart is open towards Him, wherever you are, that He'll be able to communicate with you. And when the trials and the tribulations come, when the enemy attacks with these fiery darts, guess what? Your faith is strong. Your faith rises up. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith. Hebrews 11, do we have Rabia? 11:6 is
without faith.
Faith is impossible to please God, right? Yeah. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Hebrews 11:1 is faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And so we can't see the faith, but allowing God, when that fiery darts come, only we can stand. With our faith, will rise up, and we can't allow, because you know, faith is something that's the first thing that the enemy wants to steal from us is our faith, and that's where we have to. And only our faith can stand strong is when our relationship is strong with God. And how do our relationship? You know, if you had a bad relationship with your dad, then it will be very hard to trust God. You know, to like really put your full trust in God. But if you had a good relationship with God, with your dad in the natural, it would be easy to trust God. And so it's something that you have to kind of identify. If you're struggling with your relationship with God, begin to look at your past with your relationship with God, with your dad. And if you had struggles and issues and that kind of stuff, begin to deal with it. Begin to forgive Him. Begin to ask God to deal with that stuff that, you know what? That would not be a hindrance to your relationship with your Father God. Because Satan, he uses that as a weapon, and sometimes we don't identify with that. We don't recognize that why am I struggling with God? Why am I struggling with my relationship? Why can't I trust God? It's because sometimes we had our dads failed us. You know what? Every dad loves their kid. But you know what? Sometimes dad have issues and they fail their kids, but you know what? Satan uses it as a weapon against us that we can't have the relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so just identify with that and begin to walk in God's truth of His Word. Let's go to the helmet of salvation. I and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, when the Roman soldier wore the helmet, he wore the helmet to protect his head. When we wear the helmet, we wear that helmet because we want to protect our mind from the enemy. And do not allow your mind to go off, as we spoke about, take every thought captive under the blood and subjection of the Holy Spirit. And when the enemy comes in like a flood and he comes and drops those words and those lies, identify with him quickly and stand against his lies, saying no, and begin to walk in God's truth. So it's the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier used the helmet as a protective device against injury while in battle. Paul's analogy is perfect when he explains why you need protective headgear to safeguard your mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But friends, you're not in the dark, so how could you be taken off guard by any of this? Your sons of light, daughters of the day, we live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. Since we're creatures of day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight, sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation is our hope and deliverance from sin and eternal hell. Satan never stops assaulting minds, trying to manipulate how and what we think. If your hope remains in this material world, you will remain living in a state of depression and hopelessness. Satan uses the minds as a target for attack. Therefore, guard your mind. Be careful of what you expose yourself to. Unless we become aware of Satan's tactics, we will remain weak and defeated in this area. So, we need to recognize what comes against us in our minds, how Satan assaults our minds, assaults our hearts. You know, I had a vision a long time ago while I was praying, and I had this vision, and I was in the throne room, and I was just watching, and Jesus was standing there before the Father, and he had this person in his hand. He was carrying this person, but this person that he was carrying, his head was bandaged, his arm was broken, and it was bandaged, and Jesus was carrying this person and before the Lord, and the Satan was standing on the side, and he was just accusing, he's accuser of the brethren, and he kept on accusing this person, and as Jesus just carried this person, and we have to be very, very careful that Satan doesn't use us to assault the body of Christ. Be careful that we don't take salt and throw in the wounds of others that are hurting and that are struggling in the body. You know, with the body, we need to recognize, don't allow Satan to use us as a weapon. Don't allow, identify with the lies of the enemy. No matter what the sister, no matter what the brother is doing, don't go and throw salt on their wounds. You know, because that's what, like, I think 90% in the church is the church is hurt by the body of Christ. And we need to quickly say, before we open our mouth, quickly identify, am I assaulting the body? You know, is Satan using me to assault the body? And if he is, close those lips and do not assault the body. Do not be quick to bring judgment on people. Do not be quick to, you know, to allow Satan to use us as weapons to bring the church down. Because it's another thing that we have to identify by allowing Satan to use us. Okay, Wayne. Thank you. And those are the scriptures over there you can use in your quiet time. Check it out. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Isaiah 59, 16 through 17. The sword of the Spirit. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The Roman soldier used the sword of the Spirit as an offense part of his armor. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God that comes out of your mouth, that you speak it out. It's not the sword, but your mouth is the sword of the Spirit. You have to speak the word. You can't think the word. You have to speak the word. That's why I said in your quiet time, in your struggles, begin to ask God scriptures and begin to speak it out over your lives, over your children, over circumstances. A soldier will accomplish nothing without his sword. The Bible compares the sword to the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isaiah 49:2. Speaking the proclamation, the word is powerful, is a powerful weapon. Sadly, many Christians never get around to using the sword effectively. Learning scriptures and speaking God's word boldly will help sustain us through every battle. Matthew 4:4. And we don't stand alone. We have the Holy Spirit who is our helper. Galatians 4:6. As we read the word and study the scriptures, the word would become alive and powerful, a powerful weapon in the hands of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you're working all things out, Father. And you know where we are, Lord, and you know how to get us there, Father. So we ask you all that we have studied today, all that you have brought to mind and to our hearts, Lord. We pray that your word would become alive, Lord, and we would be ready, Father, for anything, any trial and tribulation that would come our way, Lord. Father, just pray Luke 17:5, Father, increase our faith, Lord, where we need our faith to be increased, Father. Bring us to a place, Father God, in the place that we would see you high and lifted up, Lord, that we would know, Lord, that the authority that you have given us, Father, that we don't have to stand and be beaten down by the evil one, but we can use the sword of the Spirit, and we can stand and proclaim, and we can walk in the offense, Father God, of all that you have blessed us with. Father, we want to say thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for us. Thank you for giving us that victory 2,000 years ago, Lord. And thank you for allowing us to walk in that victory, Father, from this day onwards, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would get our hold, rest our hearts, Lord. Bring truth to our hearts, Father. When we begin to read your word, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, will break down that word, Father, that we will have understanding, Lord, of your word, Father, that we may walk as victorious, Father God, as the army of the body of Christ, Father. So, Lord, be glorified today, Father. And, Father, we pray, Lord, we cover each family with your blood, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would take us from glory to glory, Lord, and that you would teach us how to walk in your truth, Father, in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can, Wayne, you can give them copies if they want, or just email it to them if they want. Yeah.